Welcome to Baby Boomers Live, the show about all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. All things hot and all things not. News, reviews, interviews, chat, sex, and what's next. And here are your hosts, Reetha Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and Easy Dad, Jim Zulli.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Reetha.
Good morning, Jim. How are you
and
doing
here we go
today?
Again. Welcome, everybody, to the show. And here we are at, mid-March 2015. And summertime seems to be approaching very rapidly, huh? It's like, what happened? All of a sudden, it's 90.
Well, the good news is we live in California, and it is indeed sunny California. It was in the 90s yesterday. It's supposed to be in the 90s today. I have a cousin in Wyoming, and he was saying that there was still snow on the ground.
Wow. Okay, question for you, Reetha. You're stuck in an area, okay, and you're going to be there for a while. Can you handle an extreme cold area or extreme hot? Which do you think you can handle better?
I don't get stuck in areas. I live in Los Angeles.
There you go. I travel by choice.
I saw snow for the first time about 10 years ago, real snow. And
wow.
It's really the only time I've seen real snow. I have been to Africa, and it's really hot there. But, no, I don't do stuck in extreme weather. Matter of fact, I always say I don't do weather. You know, I do California. I do Southern California.
We really don't have to deal with that much, you know. It's like we're in another zone over here. And we watch it on the news and, you know, Alaska and Midwest and so on. But, I mean, every day you walk outside, it's 75, 85 degrees. And, I mean, yeah, we need a little bit more rain, but I can handle that, you know.
No, absolutely. I love Los Angeles. What can I say?
Especially
being
baby
boomers. I've been gone a little while, but I haven't been traveling.
Okay.
Ripped from the headlines. Today's hot topic.
So I've been gone a little while, but I haven't been traveling. I've actually been working. And I can't talk about anything I've been working on, but it does have to do with movies and commercials. So more about that when I'm able to talk. But my hot topic for today are train wrecks and hit and runs. I don't understand it, Jim. Why are people walking out in front of moving cars and moving trains?
Not a good thing to do, Reese.
It's just amazing to me. We have had just an incredible amount of news stories about train wrecks. Especially within the last month, there have been like four or five where vehicles have either been running through a train crossway or vehicles have gotten stuck on train tracks. And sometimes the people are actually still in the vehicles when the wreck happens and it derails the trains. And it's just amazing to me why someone would try to beat a train. I don't get it. And the same thing with hit and runs. I mean, when you are involved in an accident, it doesn't make sense to me why you would run. I understand probably some of these people are under the influence of something and they don't want to get caught. But still, you should never run from the scene of an accident. But people walk in front of automobiles. It's amazing to me. I was driving down a street the other day. It's a major thoroughfare, and just as I went by, I realized there was someone, it felt like a foot away from me on the curb. And if I had lost control of the car, anything, it just made no sense to me. And if they were getting ready to cross the street, it was really just insane. And it was at nighttime, so I didn't see them literally until I was passing them and saw them like on the corner of my eye. So, baby boomers especially, don't walk in front of moving cars. We can't outrun them. We're not supermen and women. We can't stop them. You've got to be aware that you just cannot walk in front of moving cars and moving trains. It's just amazing to me.
Well, Reetha, I think what we're looking at here is, in California, it's kind of We have the right. We don't even have to look either way. When I step out in the street, I have the right of way. But yet you weigh 150 pounds, the car weighs 3,000 pounds, you really should look both ways, because even though you may have the right of way, the guy may be doing something with a CD player or something, you know?
And everybody's texting when they drive. Everybody's on the phone when they drive. We're all distracted. So just pedestrians, pay attention. I was talking to some people from New York, and they always laugh at me when I'm in New York because I stop at red lights. I don't just cross. And even in L.A., it can be 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm the only one on the streets. If the light's red, I will stand there and wait for it to turn green. But seriously, people, pay attention. So what's your hot topic today, Jim?
Well, I was going to touch on the baby boomers have a time when, okay, they're a baby boomer. What does that mean? Okay, they're retired. Well, sometimes they're getting into something recent that may be something they might want to steer away from a little bit, like drinking, as more than 10,000 baby boomers a day are turning 65 years old. Many of them may need to adjust their attitudes towards alcohol consumption. All right, especially given the fact that as they age, the body reacts differently to alcohol. And, you know, then you've got all the prescriptions they're taking. How does that interact with all that kind of, with the alcohol, with the pills, with the, you know, the antidepressants, whatever it is you're taking, the heart pills, you got the pacemakers. That all has to be taken into consideration. And 4 out of 5 people of retirement age who seek substance abuse treatment do so because of alcoholic problems. Instead of a abusive drug, this shows that alcohol abuse by older adults is a growing and it's many times an ignored problem. And research from 29 states and you know, miscellaneous jurisdictions indicate that 80% of current retirees in a substance abuse treatment program, that's their primary situation is alcohol, not all the other, you know, drugs and so on and so forth. It's alcohol. And alcohol and substance abuse is statistically at epidemic proportions among the elderly. And I'm going to pretty much wrap it up here because we have to go into commercial. But, you know, the thing is, Aretha, people don't bother the senior citizens. Where a younger person's going to get stopped and they're going to be, you know, if they're out in the street or if they're drinking, where older people, they stay at home and then drink. And they don't have to worry about the parents lecturing them on drinking. You know, most of our parents have moved along. And, you know, we don't have to worry about getting up for work. We don't have to worry about reporting in and so on and so forth. So it's just a situation that we have to be aware of. And don't look at retirement age as the last stage of your life. Look at it as the beginning. So replace the Vodka 7 with the V8, you know?
All righty then. And that takes us up to commercial.
Presenting NetworkAroundWheels.com, a groundbreaking networking website that provides businesses and nonprofits with free thumbnail advertising if they uplift and inspire, as well as give back to their communities. For more information, please visit NetworkAroundWheels.com.
And Networker on Wheels, Jerry O'Brien, amazing guy. Aretha, have you met Jerry?
I love Jerry.
Jerry's
Jerry
so cool.
And I have a wonderful time whenever we happen to be at the same events together.
Oh, and I saw him at the Abilities Expo, and the guy is very motivational. I mean, you know, for the situation he's in and so on, and people around him get motivated. He's a positive spirit, and that's so important to have that positive attitude.
Absolutely. And speaking of positive, do we have our guest on the line?
Well, let's see. We have Dante Obligation is supposed to be calling in. Dante, you with us?
Yes, okay. I got Chester. Chester Whitmore's calling in on the other line, too.
Oh, right, so now. Cool. Dante, yeah. And, you know, well, you know Aretha, of course.
Hello, Aretha. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm great, Dante. How are you doing today?
I was just having a great conversation with Chester Whitmore about Central Avenue and the history of jazz in L.A., and we've been talking for almost an hour about it.
I was going to say, now, Dante, you may be a baby boomer. You're on the edge there, but you're not that old. Come on, not that edge, baby boomer. You do not remember Central Avenue, okay?
I had a birthday last Wednesday.
Moving right along, Dante.
Hello?
This way, he's following suit.
Hello?
You're not old enough to remember Central.
Chester.
Hello, Chester. Yeah. Thank you for coming on the show. Chester Whitmore, everyone. Well, welcome to the show, young man. And, you know, Chester, this Aretha Gray, you know Aretha?
I don't know Chester.
Oh, okay. Aretha Gray is a co-star of the Betty White's Off the Rocker. She throws in a little humor there sometime. She's our host with myself, Jim, and we got Dante, who you've been talking to. And now you're a baby boomer, right, Chester? Right? Dante, do we got him? Okay. So, Aretha, how are you doing?
I was going to say, did we lose both of them?
Well, you know, we can just keep rolling. We might have lost a call or something, but that's fine. That happens out here sometimes. And that's your tech time stuff, which every time we touch on this, we can go on and on. Because, you know, I talk to people that say, oh, I'm not receiving the calls or drop calls, so on and so forth, you know. But, you know, there he is. Okay, now we got Dante back on. Do we got Chester on? Dante?
We have Dante.
Hello?
Okay.
Yes, we have me. I'm going to text Chester. He'll call. He'll call back.
Okay. So Dante, you're a younger baby boomer.
Hold on.
But
I think we have Chester too. We have Chester back.
Hello.
Chester.
There you go.
Yes. Hello.
We got you. Okay, Chester. This is Jim. Hey. I met you at the studio. We got Aretha Gray, Betty White's co-star from Off the Rocker, and I was talking to. Yeah, I was just sharing with you that Aretha every once in a while does a little comedy.
Well, I understand the two of you were talking about Central Avenue, neither of which I think are old enough to remember Central Avenue. But
what do you mean I don't know Central? What are you talking about? I don't know Central Avenue.
Chester does, Aretha. Chester does.
What are you talking about?
Chester, what we were talking about was Dante's a younger baby boomer. Aretha and I aren't. So we're regular baby boomers, and we know you are too. So that's
I was there when Moses parted the sea. I was out there.
So, good job, Aretha. Good job. You got them all fired up.
Come on now. I know this. No, my father played on Central Avenue. He was a bass player.
Oh, okay.
He played on the up there. And we talked, me and Dante was talking. It was very fascinating. It was very great. Dante has incredible ideas and everything. And he was talking about the jazz idiom. I said, okay, what part do you want? And we were talking about certain elements and told him that just certain projects I was working on. And I talked about Central Avenue. He said, you've got to be kidding. I said, no. What's the 200? No.
And well, now, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. So everyone knows who we have here, Chester Whitmore. He's noted as a very unique dancer, a composer, a comedian, an actor, and that's not all, folks, a choreographer, a stuntman, and a band leader. Now, that's just the beginning of this gentleman. He's been a very, you know, you've taught at the Alvin Academy of Dance. And
Alvin Ailey. I worked with Alvin, yeah.
Alvin Ailey.
All right, let me brag a little bit more. You've also lectured at the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. I'm impressed. Yeah. I mean, you have one long resume. So I just wanted to throw that out there for everybody.
So what were you guys talking about Central Avenue for our audience that's not from Los Angeles?
Well, the thing is Go ahead, Dante.
We were wondering if Aretha ever remembers DJs in the window on Central Avenue. Mm-hmm.
All of this is before my time, gentlemen. The earliest
ahead,
I remember is the 5-4 ballroom, okay?
Oh, 5-4, yeah. There was that two layers up there, the 5-4 on the top layer, but you go down on the basement, it was a blues club underneath there.
Mm-hmm.
It was so huge. Yeah, now it was a church right now. But the 5-4, those are the branches that extended from Central. Central was your main route, you know, 8 mile source from downtown to Slauson. And they were the main clubs were on there. Then your rooted clubs that evolved out of that with 5-4 on Broadway, and the other ones that splintered out. And then now you talk about clubs that came out from the late 50s into the 60s. Now you're talking about clubs in that era, like the California, the Tiki Room, the Five Torches, yeah, the Rose Room, the those clubs like that. But that spread it out after the 50s and stuff like that. But we're talking about certain clubs that are in the main 50s. 5-4 was one of the main strong ones out of that. But there was, during the time, with me and Dante was talking about, every decade has their own idioms. The 50s were very strong, and we had our great vocalists, balladeers, jazz vocalists, soulful singers, torch song singers that came out of that at that time.
But
it started in 1899.
Wow.
I was not born there, Chester. I promise you.
What do you mean? What do you mean, girl? came back in reincarnation, girl. You probably came back in reincarnation.
Chester, we like staying on point on this show. Aretha wasn't born at least till 5 or 6 years after that. So let's get all this right.
Okay.
Central Avenue was a well-known area for culture and jazz and music in Black Los Angeles.
Fantastic! It was like a, when you talk to your elders, other people, it was like a fantasy land of music, a place that you had your own. It was open free. And we was talking about that all the elements of we're talking about West Coast, we're talking about West Coast jazz and stuff, all evolved out of that idiom. That was the West Coast Harlem, you know, of that time. And so you had a lot of the expression, you know, your first luxury Afro-American hotel came out of Central, which was the Dunbar Hotel, which originally was called Somerville, you know. And that was because, you know, the blacks didn't have a place to stay. Even though if you were a celebrity black, you know, you'd still go to Baldwin Hills. No, you was not allowed to stay there. So we created our own luxury hotel.
Now, Chester, have you ever heard of the Green Book?
Say that one more time.
The Green Book.
No, I am not. What screen was that on?
I'm getting ready to do a movie about the Green Book, which was a travel book where blacks could look up where they were welcomed across the country. And sometimes there was as much as 100 miles or 200 miles in between the next place where a black person could stay. And they had a guide. I'm about to do a movie about it. And some of the places in Los Angeles, there were very few places, even in Los Angeles, where blacks could stay in the 40s and 50s. And so,
we would call that the, you know, when you have to book a black act, or we had to own black clubs. We called that the Black Belt Circuit. Or if you go further back, if you say in the 30s that, or 20s, in the teens, that was the TOBA Circuit.
Huh.
And what was that?
Toby, they call it Toby Circuit. Well, the TOBA, I'll tell you the legit language, Theater of the Black Artists. Okay. Now, the urban, if you were in the urban or the hood, they said, oh, you're going to do the Toby Circuit. Oh, tough on black asses. That's what they call it.
You know, the history is so interesting. And Chester, we had we have archive shows. Aretha and I have talked about everything under the sun, and you know, we're open to everybody, but we kind of relate to some of the people our age. And when we went back to the history of the black music, the black jazz, and so on, it's so interesting how that came up. I forgot a lot of the stats now, but it was a very interesting article I put together, and it was, I think, down from, I don't know if it was Louisiana or somewhere, where some of the people mixed in with some of the other people, and they created certain types of sounds from the guitars and the horn and trumpet, and then they moved up to Chicago, and it was very interesting how that all came about, you know, and just created the sounds.
Because all these different sounds are the styles of the musical, the jazz, it reflected. I mean, you could hear, that's Chicago style jazz, or that's Kansas City style. Kansas City has a more, we call it 4-2-4 or 8-bar phrase. It's very heavy beat, that bass. Of course, that's what Basie came out of, you know, his
Oh yeah,
Count Basie. He was very influenced by what's the gentleman? Benny Moten. Benny Moten was Dukas. Benny Moten was it. If it wasn't for him being stranded, he would have never met Benny Moten. He had took a gig and he learned about Kansas City styles of rhythm. And he, in them days, it was when you go to a movie theater, it wasn't sound wasn't invented at that time. He was hired as an organist, a player to play music, piano for the silent movies.
That's so interesting. If he wasn't stranded, if one little situation, and look at how it changed. You know, they talk about the Ford Motor Company. Yeah, one little race, and if the guy didn't show up for the race, this whole thing wouldn't. I mean, something else would have happened. But you know, it's funny how that one little thing can make such a difference. And now you're probably too young. I don't know, but one of my favorites was Satchmo. Since I was a kid, I always loved Satchmo. He had the coolest personality. He was the nicest. He's spirit, this guy. And but I remember, you know, back in the 50s, I would listen. I loved him, and he was in High Society with Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra and Grace Kelly. And he said, listen to so-and-so on the trombone, listen to this guy, and then listen to this guy in the keys. And then Bing Crosby said, and listen to, well, you know who, and then Satchmo came in.
Satchmo does this thing. Yeah, the guys like Herschel Bunnell and the guys, when he's naming those guys, those are the guys that were related to New Orleans jazz.
Yeah.
And so I want you to listen to them on the box. Box means the piano and the strings. Bing Crosby always admired Louis Armstrong because he always wanted to scat, you know. Then he said, maybe hear you scat. And then Louis Armstrong would do, you know, that type of. And then Bing said, let me hear you try it. And Bing will go, woo, 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 woo. And he said, never mind. He would say, never mind, stick to that. Yeah. You'll still be famous.
Yeah, he was a crooner.
This is what's funny.
He was a crooner. He was a crooner.
He had a gruff voice. I mean, he had a harsh little voice, and yet the most beautiful song, just about, I know there's a lot, but this one song is just one of the top. And it's that, you know, what a beautiful world.
That's
and
right.
That will go on forever. People hear that in a grocery store or something, and they just stop.
You have to sit. You have to listen to the words. It's just great. He was very, a humanitarian. He's very humanitarian from the 20s on up. I mean, when he was talking about New Orleans jazz, and he blew up really bad, I mean, doing chords and hitting chords with his trumpet, a lot of people was like, oh, my God, what is this man doing? Of course, in the film industry picked him up because he did soundtracks with all the Betty Boop cartoons.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm.
know? And, Betty Boop. You know, the Betty Boop. And the third,
some of these
entities
go on forever, it seems. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, and even when he got sick in the 60s, he had cancer, and he had to remove one of his lungs. And he still was blowing the trumpet. And
that's amazing.
He hit one of the most Academy Award songs. And everybody said, wait a minute, who did it? Louis Armstrong. And it was the late 70s. And guess what it was? It was a soundtrack to the James Bond movie.
See? Wow. That's amazing.
It's a soundtrack.
You know, it's like Ruth and I talk about, you know, continuing on. That's one of the emphasis in our show is like, you know, okay, we're 65, whatever, but this is just a start, you know? I mean, we got to keep busy. We got to keep going. And yet we see some of these singers or dancers or actors, whatever, and they're still in the business or whatever the situation they're in a business. Look at Colonel Sanders. He was older.
Totally.
And so, that's the example. Look at, you guys remember Dracula back from a long time, Christopher Lee. Look at the stuff. He's still in that.
Oh, man, Christopher Lee, yeah.
Yeah, he was in that movie with the special effects, the Lord of the Rings, or one of those. Mm-hmm. I forgot which one. But
that's right. Lord of the Rings. Christopher Lee. That's it.
Yeah,
that was
he's 93 years old, and he's getting involved with some heavy metal band now. Or something. I mean, that guy's a really good example.
Look at Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a great
influence. How old would he be now?
Him and Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Exactly. Old and new.
Yeah.
See? Old and new.
Exactly. Yeah. So now, Chester Whitmore, who's he going to be partnering up with now?
Me, I'm trying to find.
Get some young singer. Let's put Chester together with somebody. Let's put Chester together in a dance with somebody. Who would be a good one to pair him up with? That's like 18.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Featuring Chester Whitmore and who?
Whoever wants to learn the history and the values of entertainment in Indian, because if it wasn't for those older people, I wouldn't have never learned what I got a chance to learn, to sit down and catch interest in it. Because, you know, during that time, it was soul was happening when I was researching, doing stuff like that. And everybody used to look at me like, why don't you just listen to the music that's happening now? I listen to all the stuff that, I'm in the moment, but there was something about the older music that was
called lyrics, Chester.
That's what it is. Yeah, thank you very much, Pete.
Yeah.
That's right. The guy talking about rap and everything. I said, wait a minute. The only thing that rapping I know is doing Christmas. I can do, put stuff together. You know?
Exactly.
But,
exactly.
You got to tell.
You've got the stories on the songs. Chester, Dante, check this out. Let's put something together where we have the old school and the new school. Like Chester will be on stage and he'll be doing his dance, and then the people of the younger age, they'll be doing their thing, and then they got to switch. The older person has to do the moves, and then the younger person has to do the moves from the 50s. You know, what do you think? We'll do something like that.
Oh, wow, that'd be interesting.
Chester, my favorite story. Now, I was a young child at the time, but my father, who was a dentist, was also a pianist. And we would go over to Nat King Cole's house when I was a very little girl, and my father would play the piano and Nat King Cole would sing. I had no idea what I was in the midst of, but even as a young child, I understood it was wonderful. Nat King Cole just literally had that silky, smooth voice, and it was just wonderful for the two of them to just have jam sessions. What's one of your favorite music stories?
Oh, my God. With Nat King Cole, musically, I had the chance. I was telling Dante, we was talking so much, we got into it. I had a chance to play with Count Basie.
Oh, cool. Mm.
I worked with Count Basie. And he came to L.A., and he was giving a jazz lecture series. You know, Joe Williams was there, Helen Humes was there, and we came in, and I was working with a gentleman out here out of Los Angeles named Roger Hamilton Spott. Now, he was an arranger. He was also one of those guys. We were talking about Jefferson High, great arranger. He did Dizzy Gillespie, and he was the one that got me involved with big band. That got me really locked in. He said, and he introduced me to Basie. And Basie said, you play an instrument? I said, yes, I do. What do you do? I said, drums. Can you read? I said, yeah. He said, you want to play a couple of numbers with me? I said, what? You got to be kidding.
That's cool.
And he said, would you do it? I said, yeah. I said, shoot, yeah, miss a chance like that. And I got up there and played three numbers. You can look in the book and see what you can do. And I read it up. And then before we started, I said, Mr. Basie, do you want me to play it in the blue Deco series from 1938 with Joe Jones or Sonny Payne? He looked at me, but he said, all of that? I said, which one do you want? He said, play it the way you would play it, and we will flop, flat and swing it with you. I said, okay, I'll keep it swinging. And that's all I could do.
That is so cool.
That was one of the highlights. I got a chance to work with him. Have you ever heard of Lambert, Kendricks, and Ross?
Lambert, Kendricks, and Ross
were the creators of Vocalese. Okay, I'm going to tell you. Do you remember Manhattan Transfer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The Manhattan Transfer, they sing all the melodies of artists. Well, John Hendricks was the father of vocalese. He taught them. And then Take Seven and after all of those guys.
Yeah,
and he's still alive. He's in his 90s. Yeah, Take Six and all of those.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chester, you remember that you were on a street at the L.A. Convention Center called Easy Way Street. I remember you were up there with the Soul Train performing on the Easy Way stage up there. What did you think of that?
That was fantastic. Let me tell you, seeing all the
Soul Trains. Doing it the Easy Way with Chester.
Easy pull. It was a knockout. I've seen all those great dancers from that era. I said, oh, this is a treat. Anybody's there, you guys got to see a treat. You see where the steps come from, authentically coming from, especially that era that came out. You got a chance to see the new. And I had a ball up there. I brought some of my.
Hello?
Some of his dancers were up there on stage with him, and they had a good time with him, too. They were dancing the eras from the older eras prior to the Soul Train dancers coming up on stage. So the Soul Train dancers where the dance had evolved from. And then, of course, the Soul Train dancers just took it to a whole other level. And that history of dance that we saw in the short period of time on Easy Way Street was amazing. We had Little Keita, who's performing on some Queen Latifah show and several shows, and he's just a little kid. We had the Soul Train dancers who represented another era. We had Chester and the tap dancers who represented another era. And in that short period of time on Easy Way Street, we literally saw the evolution of dance happen in less than an hour. It was amazing.
It was amazing. Dante, I was waiting for you to get up there.
I know. Then we had the walk and roll girls on stage in the wheelchairs, which ushered in a whole new dance. And that was amazing. That was the most interesting dancing display I had ever seen, a conglomerate amalgamation of styles all, you know, interwoven into one stage. It was.
When you see the crowds growing, you know something's going on. But, yeah, when the Soul Train dancers got on and the girls were, oh, my God, the walk and roll, I mean, everybody was coming over. It drew the whole crowd.
And Dante, how long did you dance on Soul Train?
Oh, gosh, all the way through high school, at least 3-4 years. And it was, for me, it was the way I grew up being an industry kid, there was always something going on at home. So if somebody, you know, were to say, are you going to prom or junior prom, I'd be like, for what? I mean, the after party is going to be in my house anyway, so why even go? So we went. The buddies that I went on Soul Train with, it wasn't because we were clamoring to be on the show. We just wanted to be with our friends. I mean, they were the ones that were always on the show. It's just like when I played Pop Warner football. Uh-huh. I didn't really play Pop Warner football because I wanted to. I was playing it because all my buddies are playing it. So I was like, well, that's what they're doing, so let's go do it. You know, but like you said with Nat King Cole, I had no idea that 50 years later I would be looking at it going, wow, really? That was us doing that? And there were so many little stories.
I understand it was like a job. You guys had to be there on time. You shot all day, and it was serious.
Yeah, we'd shoot 2 and 3 shows in a day, and you'd be there all day. You'd bring extra changes of clothes. You'd get there early in the morning and leave at night. And we were so happy to be at a party. We were so happy to be dancing that we didn't really see it as a job.
I'm back.
It was just something that we did. It's like back then, parents would tell us, get out of the house in the morning. I don't want to see you till 5 o'clock. So we would have to leave the house and find something to do. You know, so it's like, what are we going to do for all day long so we can come back in at 5? Soul Train was all day long. But it was a party, so we never looked at it as work. When we got older, we started looking back thinking, you know what? We were working.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the Soul Train dancing will be on the Facebook Easy Way Broadcasting page and easywaybroadcasting.com. Chester, I don't know if you knew that. You'd be able to see all that stuff.
Like I said, that Easy brought it to California. He made this thing bump. With all those great dancers was kicking it.
I had
seen those great moves, and people said, I said, that's the way it was. You know, see the great dancing, you know, and... It wouldn't have been happening unless he pulled all those people together and it could come out there. And that was history right there.
And there's something that's relaxing about when you look up and you see him doing that. You know, Reetha and I talk about this. it kind of takes you back and it relaxes you, because this is, you know, nothing, you know, okay, today's world's fine, but, you know, back then we didn't have a cell phone, we didn't have a pager, we didn't have a computer, and it kind of takes you back to a relaxing time that was a little different. You know, I know every generation says that, but, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, it was kind of cool, you know? I mean, what the heck?
That's
and when
true.
I see
it
those
was.
Guys walking out, doing their dance, or driving down the street, and we hear something coming out of the radio from 62 or 60, it kind of makes you go, you know, doesn't it?
That's
yeah.
right. That was the era. That was the
yeah.
ambiance. And you
yeah.
know, today, even today with the technology, I don't feel that today. You know, like we used
yeah.
to. You know, then you can hear those records. You can hear these completed later steps. People sharing stuff with each other. I mean, it was great. That was a
oh yeah,
wow.
Now,
great.
Do you you're probably familiar with Don Cornelius with the Soul Train movie? You know, the TV. Don Cornelius was, I guess, was he the creator of Soul Train, the TV series?
Yeah, yeah. Don Cornelius, the creator of Soul Train, the series that lasted all those 40 years.
71 to 93, I think it was.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. He was very ingenious for that. We did a thing called Record Roll, and we talked about, he's definitely one of the guys that influenced about, we talked about how records came out of the 50s and stuff. And Carson, it was a dance call. The Stroll.
Oh yeah. Oh, do. Oh,
right.
I remember that.
Come
yeah.
on, let's go.
Boy, these scenes pop in my head when you, as soon as you said that.
So,
the
Chicago area, and of course, Chicago.
That's my town.
Locked in, and Don, it was a brilliant gentleman. He locked in and created this thing, and then said, "Well, let's take the Stroll, break it down, and have people drop down the middle." And he made the Soul Train line happen.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, it was a smaller show back then, but when he came to California, it blew up really big.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that put them on in the major shows that you could also, where America and the world, I have to admit, the world, you could see what was the latest dances. You
yeah.
know, all
that's
those
right.
people get out there and dance, and you say, oh, my God, that's the latest dance. You know,
yeah.
and I tell people, you know, it's even when I went to Japan and stuff, Soul Train is shown 5 times a week.
Oh, wow. Over
that
in Japan? Wow.
In Japan. Japan. It's shown 5 times a week. Those kids eat it up.
They love that stuff. Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, and when Easy brought that there, I said, oh, boy, this is going to be something. This is
oh
be
yeah,
because
when he does something and it's not just the event, which was great, but the magic he does on the internet afterwards, it just gets all over the world, you know.
Yeah, and he keeps it alive. He's keeping it alive. He's jumping it. He's making the things happen.
Well, the question is, Chester, and you know what we're wondering is, when is Aretha going to be on and doing her
exactly.
thing with the Soul Train dancers? Because all we're seeing her
exactly.
doing is her tweaking thing.
No, twerking. It's twerking. I'm a West Coast girl, so I was dancing on Shebang, which was a local
oh,
show.
Oh, yeah, Shebang.
Awesome.
Oh.
So I was dancing in the 60s. Dante was in the 70s. I was dancing. I was doing surf dancing and that kind of stuff on the West Coast local shows. Lloyd Thaxton.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So I'm a West Coast girl.
Talking about Shebang. Oh, my. Talking about bringing something back. Oh, my God. What's that? Shebang Hullabaloo?
Hullabaloo.
Remember? These were the dance shows. Hullabaloo. And it was Shindig.
Those are all West Coast. West Coast shows,
and I
had my go-go boots, my white go-go boots, and my mini skirt, and my little hat. Oh, yeah.
And you were whacking. You were whacking. See, everybody thought whacking was at the... I said, no, whacking came out right there. You got to have your long hair, and you slash it down. Whack, whack, pow, boom.
Hey, I know, just like they think that the weaves are new, no.
No,
we had
that was
our long hair, too.
We're going to do a baby boomer segment. We're going to do a baby boomer segment with Aretha Gray and the Soul Train Dancers and Chester Whitmore, and we're going to get everybody together and do a baby
yeah, there you
boomer
go.
Segment.
Oh, my God, but you did shebang. Whoa, that brought back a lot of stuff.
See?
Oh, my God.
Isn't it cool, Chester? Dust off those cobwebs, you know, and it brings back that stuff.
My God.
It's so cool.
They were, oh, man, they were dancing. They were dancing. They were doing it. And what's that, Hollywood Go-Go and all that? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They were. They were rocking.
It had a little different flavor than the East Coast shows.
Uh-huh.
And we were about sun and sand and surfing and
that's
beach
right.
boys.
And you guys would broadcast right out on the beach sometimes.
We would
oh, yeah.
right
and
out on the beach.
And they had the Temptations out there on the beach.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Singing their stuff.
But in the West Coast shows, the dancers weren't featured as much, like on American Bandstand. The shows really didn't last that long. They only lasted maybe a year or so. But
right. But they were a heavy impact. They were a very heavy impact.
Everyone got to see West Coast life, which was totally different. That we were surfers, you know.
That's right.
Well, being from Chicago, you know, what we thought California was is what we saw on TV. You know, everybody's at the beach and the Beverly Hillbillies are driving around and they pull up in their mansion and everybody's got a pool and a big home. You know, that's what you saw.
I just got the okay from Easy and the text message that we're gonna do a segment with Aretha Gray and Chester Whitmore and the Soul Train Dancers on the Baby Boomer Show. I just got the okay on it. So guys, it's lamented in stone. Jim, can you see yourself shooting it? Aretha's coming down the Soul Train line with Chester Whitmore with the Soul Train Dancers all around him in a horseshoe. Is that not cool or what?
Don, all I could think of is poor Chester. You called him up and said, "Do you want to just pop on the show and talk a little bit?" Now look at poor guy's getting involved in all kinds of projects here.
I said, Dante, you're going to have to give me my Ben Gay and everything.
I was going to say, I did a commercial the other day, and literally, I can't talk about what it was for, but literally, I was dancing and lip syncing. And I felt like I have finally arrived because that's what they used to do back in the 60s. There were no live performances. They all lip sync. So we all knew how to lip sync and be very expressive. And it was so funny because I went on the set, and you know how people will kind of look at you now that you're a baby boomer, like, oh, I hope she doesn't fall apart or
fall over.
Break her neck.
I hope she don't hurt
and then
herself.
I started, and they were just amazed.
I hope she doesn't fall over.
Exactly. I've been lip syncing for 50 years.
Yeah. But you know, Chester, what you said about the Ben Gay, we disassembled our church when they were going to rebuild the church, so we had to take everything out of there, pews and all that. It was a lot of work. And that evening, I went over to CVS Pharmacy. That's what I was there for, to buy some Ben Gay, and there's three other guys in there getting aspirin or something related to all of a sudden, you know, they're in their 60s and they're taking apart this building. I mean, you know, when you don't keep in shape, it's, you know, you got to keep eating.
Oh, my
boomers.
God.
Yeah.
They were baby boomers.
Yeah. Oh, everybody's
baby
up on a ladder taking out a big speaker. They're all in their 70s. You know, it's like, jeez. But, you know, it's not, you feel it the next day, you know. That's why, Chester, we got to keep you on stage. You got to keep doing your thing, so that'll keep
you
young.
But, you know, here's a good remedy. Just get some WD-40 for the joints. They always work.
Yeah, there you go. That'll do. But anyway, guys, hey, we appreciate, because we know you and Dante, you know, you got a busy schedule and everything. Appreciate you jumping on the show with us. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun. And it's you know, I find it a lot of fun going back and touching on some of these things that, like, oh, yeah, you know, I remember that. And it makes you think back to that movie we saw when we were 12 or 18 years old or 15 years old or whatever. Because how often do you think about that stuff, you know? And that's what the show's all about. And so, Chester, you're doing the Black Belt Jazz Ballet, Black Ballet Jazz. That's what your company is now,
well,
right?
That was my company that I toured with for 15 years. We went around the world 26 times.
Wow.
And it's called The History of Vernacular Jazz Dance. And we did 33 numbers from Congo Square all the way to hip-hop. And it's a show consistent. Yeah, we traveled. That's the longest show running for 15 years. We went Yugoslavia, Bulgaria, Greece. We played all the different places. The new company
out
of
Yeah. That's a whole other show. My God, that's so cool. You went around the world that many times. You must have a ton of stories.
Oh, I have videos, tapes,
Jeez.
Videos. Worked I work. We work with Miles Davis. We work with
Miles
Oma.
Davis, Bitches Brew, right?
That's correct. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I got the album.
That's it.
I still have the album. I have it right here. Bitches Brew, Miles Davis, yep.
Miles Davis. We had a chat. I worked with him. I worked with a lot of the dance company. Now, the company that's out now, there's doing stuff here in Los Angeles. A young company is called the Central, we call it the Central Avenue Dance Ensemble. They're out here doing it. And their show, they're about to do the history of Afro-American dancing. It's going to be in 3 months. The latest thing that might have a, if you go online, PBS, there you can see this, the Queen of Swing, Norma Miller.
She's
the Queen of Swing, the group that started swing dancing across America out of the Savoy Ballroom in the 20s.
Oh,
and
cool.
Documentary, I'm in that documentary that's out now. It's showing 2 times on PBS now. It's called Queen of Swing, Norma Miller. She's 95 years old, still lecturing and still demonstrating. We're demonstrating swing dancing. That's out, and we're about to do this Sunday. Dante's coming down to see the Central Avenue Review Show at the Cicada Club on 6th and Olive. That was built, the building down there. The whole ATP Parker Show, Opus One Big Band, got guest vocalists from that different eras going to be coming in and singing and performing.
So when is that going to be?
That is the March 22nd. This Sunday. I have really 2 shows. That's happening. That's going to be the Central Avenue Review Show at the Cicada Club on 6th and Olive.
And how would you get tickets?
You can go there. You can call Cicada and order it. It's a full restaurant. It's a huge restaurant, upstairs and downstairs. And everybody, when you come in there, it's like a throwback from 1928. I got elevator girls, cigarette girls, the waiters, all the maitre d's will greet you like that. They open the door for you. We had the Art Deco, the chandeliers, the whole thing.
Oh, that's
going to be a dinner show?
Yes, it is. It's mainly a restaurant, but we do every Sunday a different band. And this Sunday, they're featuring me to come down with the Central Avenue Review Show. You come in and order dinner, sit down, and then it's a live show, and you dance at the same time. You come out and dance. The show is at 8 o'clock. We do 2 sets. 2 sets. And it's wild. The show is completely mad.
That sounds really
wild.
Fun.
You don't know what's going to happen because I do audience participation. I'm not just I don't like to just we play. It's not the type of big band that's just sit there and play. Big out character. They do choreography. They move. They do stuff. We have things with the audience. We come in and out. We do all kinds of arena.
Cool.
We talk about the whole segment. And we're playing the authentic arrangements of that era.
So cool.
I have Fletcher Henderson, Spy Oliver. I have all of the arrangements. That is happening Sunday. Come there. And then Saturday.
That's Sunday.
Right. This Sunday. And Saturday, we're doing the Eartha Kitt show.
Okay.
That's
wow. So, needless to say, you're keeping busy.
Now, where are you doing that?
At Dante, we talked about. Remember we talked about the Coconut Grove, Dante?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, it's now a school now, see, a complete school for kids of the arts. And they built, when they tore down the building, they tore down the Coconut Grove there, but now it's a school. But if you go inside the school, the auditorium is where the showroom was, and they left that up. So when you go into the school, into the auditorium, it's the original, the old Coconut Grove.
That is so cool.
So you're doing the show there?
You call me Miss Kitty. That's the Eartha Kitt show.
All right. And is that open to the public?
Yep.
And where would they get tickets for that?
The young lady is Suzanne Nicholas.
Suzanne Nicholas.
She is the one. I got to is, real quick, I can give you that. That is Suzanne Nichols.
I was going to say, because some of us, my name is an anagram of Eartha. So some of us remember Eartha Kitt. She was an awesome woman.
Timbuktu.
Mm-hmm. She sang, danced.
Chester, are you familiar with the Zen Lounge? Chester, are you familiar with the Zen Lounge over outside of Studio City, Dwayne Martin and Tisha Campbell's Club?
Okay. I'll give you the number, her number, Suzanne Nichols.
Burn it, go.
There it is. If you get tickets, call her up. It's 323-219-5693.
93,
that's
all
Suzanne
right.
Nichols. And it's called They Call Me Miss Kitty. It's the Eartha Kitt Show.
Miss Kitty, all right.
Well, if people want to get in touch with you, how would they get in touch with you, Chester?
Dante,
you on
the
Facebook
main
or anything?
Huh? You can get it through Dante or Easy Way, or you can catch me. Those are the ways you can or Facebook me, or you can do smoke signals up in the sky.
Smoke signals work.
What's your Facebook name?
But this is Chester Whitmore's Facebook, and you'll see me. And they have you can click on the events, and it can show you different events, what I'm doing, and different other stuff.
And Dante, okay,
well, remember,
about you? How can we keep with you, and what are you doing, Dante?
Well, actually, Chester and I are talking about collaborating on a couple of projects that are just astronomically big. We didn't realize that the two of us were thinking along the sort of the same lines, and now that we've been talking, it's going to be ridiculously huge.
Why not? Take advantage. And remember, Chester, you go to the Facebook Easy Way Broadcasting fan page, easywaybroadcasting.com, to see all that excitement on that page. And thank you guys for coming on the show, Dante, Chester, and
Dante, wait, we got to know how to get in touch with Dante.
Dante, you can get in touch with me on Facebook, Dante Obligation, or, of course, my fan page is Dante Reporter. And I wanted to say real quick that there's a place called the Zen Lounge in Studio City that's owned by Dwayne Martin and Tisha Campbell. And Easy is partnering with the DJ there, his name is Black, to possibly do an episode out of there. So we're toying with the idea of, and of course we have other venues, but doing a baby boomer show that involves Chester and the Soul Train Dancers and what have you. And we have other venues that we could use too. And we're actually tossing the idea around right now. But I know you guys got to be game, right? Rita, Chester, Whitmore, Soul Train Dancers. I mean, hey, old and new, Jim, the whole thing. Baby boomer, what do you guys think?
You got it.
Let's do it.
No, that's fun.
East Coast and West Coast.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Let's do it.
That's be great.
Nothing to it but to do it, guys. Nothing to it but to do it. And it keeps us young, keeps us moving. So anyway, guys, I think it's wrap-up time. We've gone over, but we loved it. And Chester, you know, this is something that we got to do on the show. And Aretha, I know you agree with this. Is this experience with you traveling around the world so many times, you have to have a lot of stories there. We won't go into it now, but will you do that, come back on the show again? Maybe we'll touch on some of those little travels.
Oh, no problem. It'd be great.
That would be exciting.
All righty.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming
okay,
on.
Okay, and Aretha, and one more thing. Don't forget the Special Olympics. You know, I'm involved in the Knights Columbus I'm on the panel with the Special Olympics Committee. We're going to be hosting, it's going to be Indonesia and Spain, and that will be coming up in July. They'll be here from Monday through Friday, and we'll be, taking them around and showing them what's going on out here in Mission Viejo until the games actually start, and then they'll be leaving, I think it's like July 26th or so, and that's going to be exciting. It's a worldwide thing. What do we got? 172 countries coming in on this, you know. And so we're going to be on board. Eric's going to be on board, and it's going to be quite an experience hosting people from so many countries coming in. And we can handle two. So, guys, we're going to wrap it up. Aretha, anything else?
No, I'm just thrilled that we had such a lively conversation about days gone by.
Oh, yeah.
Always good to reminisce.
EasyWayBroadcasting.com. Download the app and search Eric Zulli on EasyWayBroadcasting.com. And Chester, Dante, thanks for coming on the show. And look forward to doing a whole bunch of stuff together.
All right. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
All right, Chester, we'll wrap.
EasyWay Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Zulli and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
Do you want a stronger internet presence and social media following for you or your business? Eric Easy Zulli and his company, Easy Way Entertainment, can help you get discovered. Go to www.easywaybroadcasting.com for prices and packages that can help you take control of your internet presence and gain marketing exposure.
Presenting NetworkAroundWheels.com, a groundbreaking networking website that provides businesses and nonprofits with free thumbnail advertising if they uplift and inspire, as well as give back to their communities. For more information, please visit NetworkAroundWheels.com.
Thank you for listening to Baby Boomers Live with your host, Teresa Gray, star Betty White's Out There Rockers, and Easy's dad, Jim Zulli. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and keep up with us at BabyBoomersLive.info. Baby Boomers Live, brought to you by EasyWayBroadcasting.com on Blog Talk Radio.